Are you a sheep? No. You're a dragon. Be a dragon.
This is for all the girls who grew up without strong geek role models to help them discover their geek dreams.
For everyone who's ever been quizzed about their video game knowledge because girls don't play games.
Geek Hearing is working to bring female identifying geeks into their prime to be the role models, dreams, and voices.
Are you ready for this?
Welcome to Geek Hearing, a critical geek culture podcast where we talk the good and the bad parts of being a chick in a male-dominated environment. Hi, my name is Monica, and with me today is my lovely, hilarious, glorious, amazing, funny, badass, awesome co-host, Amanda.
Hey, 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 Monica.
I like how this turns always into some weird situation. And nobody saw that I even raised my hands while I said this.
It's true. You were all like, whoa.
Whoop, whoop. I was raising the roof here.
You can always raise the roof. Maybe one day we'll get a gif of it.
A gif of us raising the roof? We should do that. Yeah. Whoop, whoop, whoop. I'm sad that this doesn't record our video now.
Maybe that should be a Patreon goal that it does.
I agree. So how's it going?
It's going a lot better today than it has been.
That's great. But the family occasions are better now.
We're better. We're getting back to normality. And yeah, it's good. How about you? How are you?
How am I? So the weirdo is on holidays now. And since it came too quickly, I'm not. I kind of am, but nobody knows I am.
So is this... Well, if nobody knows you are, I don't really think you are.
Well, the good thing is that apparently, well, some clients are on holiday themselves, so they are not reachable really. So it's not that I'm overwhelmed with things. And I did some decent planning and... I think I have my time management down at the moment, so it doesn't seem so problematic, and I can be a bit lazy.
Nice.
And, I mean, we do have some plans, but it's more like cleaning down the house and getting rid of the shit that's standing around, which has to happen before you arrive.
Yeah, I want to be able to sleep somewhere.
Well, that's not a problem. The sleeping is no issue.
Okay.
It's more of the dining room situation. Well, dining room, it sounds as if it's such a big thing, but the other rooms that are never used, that are full of stuff right now, I want to get rid of the stuff.
Okay.
But the living room bed situation, that's always that fine.
Good.
I'm even excited. Vacuuming it for you.
Wow.
Wow, you should be.
That's amazing.
You're not wrong.
I feel you.
How's Geeky Town, though? Did you get some geeky things behind the belt?
A little bit. I didn't play any video games other than Hearthstone for, like, it's been probably almost 2 weeks now that I haven't even cracked open a video game.
Wow.
But I did read a really interesting story, a book, from a brand new author. I think I mentioned last week that I was sent his first book ever to do a book review of, and I finished it a couple nights ago, and I have to say it was a really interesting story, and I can't wait to see where it goes. So I'm going to put a link in our show notes so that you listeners can go and pick up Orson by David J. Pearson yourself, because I think it's great, and I definitely think he's going somewhere. So stay tuned for the review of that, because it will be coming out soon too.
Awesome. So it's an introduction in something that will continue afterwards. So
yeah, I don't know how many. He has said that the second book is ready to go. It's with his editor right now, and he's also working on a prequel.
Nice.
So I don't know how many there are going to be in the series, but it's an interesting concept that he's come up with, and I'm excited to sink more of my teeth into it.
Oh, that's cool. I'm excited. And we get the review of that.
Yeah.
That's even better.
And then other than that, I have not really been doing anything geeky. I went back to reading the Soldier Son trilogy by Robin Hobb again last night. And even though, like, it took me a long time to get into the series, just like the Farseer trilogy, her words are just like, it's like going home when I read them. It's like putting on a comfortable blanket and just reading them, and it's nice.
Aww.
So that's been my geeky stuff. What about you, Moni?
I am rewatching the Gilmore Girls while crocheting a bit on my 5-plus-year-old crochet blanket that has been in the cupboard for, yes, 5-plus years. Which I bought all the wool for already because they were discontinuing the wool that I was using. So I went and bought like a crazy person so that my blanket will be finished and will have enough wool. Now I have the wool stored for, yes, 5-plus years, I figured, because I stopped crocheting before the dog came and Yoshi will be 5 in August. So that's basically how long it's been in the cupboard. But I've continued that and been semi-watching Gilmore Girls, so I'm not in like full attention mode, but it's like running on the side and it's brings up so many thoughts, like things I didn't notice. And it's so weird when you're like rewatching things in a different place in your life than before. So yeah, that's
how far are you up in it now?
Oh, I'm almost done. Season 7, episode,
very good,
what, 18 or something.
So, and there only is like 7 seasons, or is there 8?
7.
Yeah.
And then the Netflix reboot thingy, which I don't know, that hurt my heart as well. But maybe I need to watch it again. It's so sad, to be honest, to see Lauren Graham the way she is now. Because I feel she did a lot to her face. I don't think it was necessary, woman. But it's Hollywood makes that out of you sometimes, I guess. So yeah, that's a bit sad. That all the others could age properly and she couldn't really. Team Logan still.
Team Logan. Woot. He is the best.
Though I can see now more why people probably were very much Team Jess. But still, I don't think I'm Team Jess. I'm Team Logan.
I'm definitely Team Logan. I'm definitely not Team Dean, but I'm definitely Team Logan. And like Team Jess, I get Team Jess.
Yeah. I get Team Jess better now than I did, like, what, 20 years ago? Jesus Christ. A very long time ago is what I'm saying. But yeah, we probably have to do a separate episode about that at some point, even though it's very out of date. But yeah.
I'm down.
It has a lot of interesting issues that never really crossed my mind that hard, to be honest. So that's all my geeky stuff that's happening.
Oh, I started watching the final season of Jane the Virgin. So it's only just come out. In the past few months, there is only 10 episodes out so far.
Okay.
So, and I'm 4 into it.
And what season is it?
5.
5. I think I got to 3, maybe. Maybe 4. Not sure.
It's some show.
I do like, though, that the one who plays, insert name here, baby daddy
Raphael.
Yes, he's actually a pretty nice feminist.
Is he? Yeah, that's cool.
I have to share the video with you. He had a TED talk and he's talking about toxic masculinity. He was trying to get more visibility, and with his vulnerable posts it didn't work, so he tried to do more manly things, like show his body more, work out more. It's very interesting. And I had a Facebook video somewhere where they had a round table of all guys. So it was the guy who plays Raphael. And then, have you ever watched How to Make a Murder? No.
How to Get Away with Murder?
How to Get Away with Murder. There is this one lawyer guy, and he also plays in some other series, like he's a dude with short hair, and where else did he play? Anyway, that dude as well and some others, and they were talking about masculinity in general. That was super interesting. And we have to share it. I will find that video again and we can share it on our Facebook page and on our social accounts.
Yeah, definitely do that. Because I'd like to watch it. Sounds awesome.
It was pretty long, I recall. But it was really interesting. So that's cool because the dude seems like a super... He doesn't seem very feminist in Jane the Virgin. But he is in real life. Or in general.
I'm actually like... I'm team Raphael, so...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember. Maybe I'd have to watch it again.
Yeah, it's not like you've never binge watch shows, so...
I never binge anything. Not food, not video games, not TV shows, nothing. That's not the story of my life at all. What are we talking about today?
It's Geek Girl in the News. Da, da, da,
da, da, da. I'm totally down for that jingle.
Yeah, maybe we should actually like make a sound clip for it.
Oh, I like that. So first order of the day is, whoop whoop, it's Pride Month!
Yay, happy Pride Month!
Happy Pride Month. I mean, there is not really news about that, but we just want to make you aware that June is Pride Month. So hug your fellow queer person and celebrate!
Yeah.
Love is love
is
love.
We all like good hugs, so. Well, except for people that like don't like hugs. But everybody else likes hugs. So definitely go and hug your neighborhood queers.
Consensually, please.
Please.
No unconsensual hugs.
No.
Cool.
Cool.
Yes. And actually, that leads us already to our first... Wow, that was a nice segue.
Yeah, that was good. We didn't plan that.
No, not at all. That's why I'm super excited right now. To our first article. We have talked about this company already before. And they've pulled another nice whammy. Is whammy something bad?
Whammy could go either way, depending on the context. And I think that Gillette has put together another commercial whammy for us.
Yes, a good whammy, though.
Yeah.
I'm all down for that whammy.
You're just making it weird.
It sounded wrong. I heard it. When I said it, I heard it.
So we talked a few months ago about Gillette's first ad of the year that was tackling toxic masculinity. Well, in their current whammy, they have put out a new ad of a trans man and his father, and his father is teaching him to shave for the first time.
It's such a heartwarming ad.
It really is. It's from a Toronto-based, or the trans man in the ad is a Toronto-based artist named Samson. And it's like an actual Samson's true story that Gillette captured and shared in an ad. And it's pretty great, actually.
It is super great. If we watch it, he talks about how this is such a big step for him now that he can actually shave. And you see how his father, I had no idea that shaving was actually that complicated, to be honest. I was like, what? But how you have to go about shaving the beard on your face properly and in what direction and whatever. And it's so nice to see, like, it's nice to have something like this as an... First of all, as an ad to create more visibility. That's number one. Second, I feel it's filled with so much love somehow, that ad, because I think sometimes trans people don't get the support that they would need from their families. So it's like, it feels like his father is really there with him. And that's so cute and that's so lovely to see.
Yeah, it's definitely... the kind of ad that is needed to help increase acceptance of trans people.
Mm-hmm.
And when a company as big and as like long founded and long established, what am I trying to say? As well known and big, and like every dad uses Gillette. Like it's just a fact. My dad uses Gillette, you know?
We have Gillette razors.
Yeah, like everybody uses Gillette. So
I don't even know what other brand is out there besides the cheapster ones, to be honest.
Yeah, like legit, I've got no idea. So to see them taking on these issues like toxic masculinity and trans rights, it's it's just phenomenal that they're making that stand and they're being the voice that needs to be heard right now.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. I mean, I have listened to the Guilty Feminist podcast a while ago, so when the first Gillette ad came out, and Deborah did state that, yes, obviously that's a marketing. That's also marketing. The people who buy razors are mostly women. So women buy the razors for the men very often. And that's also some sort of targeted marketing here. But I feel everything is, like, we get so much shit constantly. So even if the major reason or the bigger reason behind it is marketing, the message still remains valid.
Yeah. Like, I totally agree with you. Marketing, it might be marketing to the times, but it's also doing marketing, especially like Gillette is predominantly an American company. And with everything going on in America right now with trans rights, they are taking a political stance with something like this. So yes, it's marketing, but it's more than marketing. And like, I can easily see conservatives just being like boycotting Gillette because of it. So it's something like, it's controversial. It shouldn't be, but it is controversial marketing that they are staking their brand's reputation on.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't fault them in the slightest for using these topics in their marketing campaigns, because they're bringing awareness to these issues and rights, and it's on a national/international scale that it's happening. So it doesn't even bother me in the slightest that it's marketing.
Yeah, I agree. And you said that marketing to the times, and I'm not even sure if that's the case. Obviously, on the one hand, we are more open about a lot of things these days. But also, I feel there is some other trend in the other direction as well that's pretty strong. So even though there is some part where it's more visible nowadays and where we talk more about all like LGBTQ rights, and you talk more openly about feminism and about women's rights and all that jazz that we're talking about, I feel there is still a big force that's trying to bring us back to the other direction. So it's definitely taking a stance like this is very... So you decide to market towards one area, and that area is not as big as I feel the force who tries to run backwards. So I don't feel that we're outnumbering those yet.
No.
So that's why I'm feeling it is a choice that they're making as a company to show the people what they stand for. And even though it's marketing, it's still cutting off a lot of people that would have otherwise probably bought their product.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I feel they could have made a more general ad. They have done for ages. But they decided to take a step into a direction to show the world what they as a company support. And I feel, yes, some people might say that companies don't have to educate us. But let's be honest, the entire advertising industry is all about manipulating everyone. So I'd rather see more stuff like this than ads who try to put me back behind the oven and in the kitchen again.
Yep, I agree. Thank you, Gillette. I can't wait to see what is next, because there's going to be something next and I'm excited for it.
Even though this one I feel didn't get as much publicity as the first one did. Because obviously, I don't know, it always causes an uproar when people feel personally attacked, which they obviously did with the toxic masculinity ad. So that one was a bit, that didn't get as much wind, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious what comes next. Maybe a super hairy woman. I would like that.
That'd be cool.
That would be super cool.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, let's be honest, nobody needs to shave those weenus legs, do they? Yeah, cool beans.
So we're going to go a bit serious now. And CNN published an article last week about the three schoolgirls who want to end child marriage in Africa. So they're fighting to change the country's constitution. And they are based in Nigeria, where there is over 22 million children married before the age of 18, according to the 2018 UNICEF report. So these three schoolgirls who are 15 and 16 years old are working to change the laws in Nigeria that say, like, this is illegal. And they're using the tech skills that they've learned. And, like, they're so geeky. Like, I absolutely love it. That they are creating petitions and, like, making governmental change to, well, change this law. One of the girls actually taught herself code when she was 10 years old. And she has a software company that has two games in the Google Play Store. It's really, really amazing. And she did it just because she said that she was bored in math. So she started to learn programming. Like, she taught herself computer programming. Yeah. So she says, like, I had the opportunity to learn and get an education. And she says, at the age of 11, most girls should be getting an education in the classroom, not the kitchen. Times are changing and no one should think a woman's role is limited to the kitchen.
I love that. I love to hear that from young girls, especially in a climate that's, well, generally trying to not enforce that as much, I would say.
Yeah. So they, on their petition, they are looking for 150,000 signatures, and they have gotten 149,709.
Ma, jeez.
So we are going to put not only the article, but their change.org petition in our show notes. So that you can sign as well, because I know I will be. And this ticker is going up as I'm sitting here on the change.org. It's gone up. We're now at 149,725 signatures.
Nice.
Just since I said that number. Like, it is just up, up, up. And I'm going to sign it right now as well. There we go.
Is there a time limit to that petition?
I don't think so. It's amazing just watching something like this, because no child should be a bride.
No child should be a bride. So when you hear that, you probably still want to sign it, because the more the better.
Yep.
It's pretty rough, actually. One of the girls' grandmothers was fighting for democracy in Nigeria, and she was assassinated in 1996.
Oh, wow.
So that's like, I love that the granddaughter keeps fighting. Keeping on the legacy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Keeps fighting. That's awesome.
It is very cool. So definitely check that article out and sign that change.org petition.
You can also read the article and find out more about these awesome three girls.
Yeah, they're amazing. They're like game changers, world shakers.
World shakers.
I'm excited to learn more about them when they become famous for changing the world. Mm-hmm. And change can also come from boycotting.
Yeah.
And that's going to lead us into our next article here.
It's so smooth.
Smooth like butter. So we were mentioning, and I'm sure that you've heard, that that certain states in the US are totally fucked when it comes to abortion.
Well, in general, the US is a bit fucked sometimes recently. Yeah. Sorry.
True. Sorry. Wow, Monica.
Sorry, not sorry. I mean, who am I to talk?
I mean, take a sip of that tea, okay?
I mean, politics are interesting these days. Let's just say that.
Yeah. So anyways, Netflix is considering leaving Georgia, where they're filming so many of their shows, over the abortion ban.
Like, when I first read the headline, obviously, I was like, that's great taking a stance here. But then I kept reading and I was like, yeah, I see that that can cause issues as well. But in general, it's taking a stance.
It is taking a stance, and I think it's a positive stance for the most part. However, because of how many people in the state, like, and not just white people, like, there are so many women of color and people of color in Georgia that are working on film sets, that if Netflix pulls their shows and starts filming them elsewhere, that's going to be a lot of people who are already living close to the poverty line, yeah. You know, without money, without full-time employment again.
Mm.
But I think that it is important for big companies like this to make a political stand and say, like, look, this is not okay. We are not going to give money to this state that is having such a detrimental effect on humanity and our country as a whole. So I am totally like, it's really, really good, but also it's actually kind of bad for the people in the situation. But for a political point of view, I'm like, yeah, this is right up there.
Yeah. And I think like, because the law isn't in effect yet, that the threat of Netflix pulling their filming, and I've heard as well that some actresses, specifically Sophie Turner from Game of Thrones and Dark Phoenix, she has said that she won't film in Georgia if this goes through. And the pressure that's coming in from Hollywood and from the rest of the world, I'm hoping that it's going to be enough that the bill doesn't go through and become law.
That would be so amazing if that didn't become law. Isn't Netflix the first company in Hollywood that takes a stance like this?
It is. This article says that there's a couple other production companies, like Monkey Paw and Bad Robot. They have actually decided to continue filming in Georgia, though they did consider pulling it, because they're supporting jobs for the women of color who, as the article says, would be most negatively impacted by placing an economic chokehold on the state. So while Netflix is taking this stance, and I'm hoping, like, fingers crossed that it's not going to come to them actually like pulling production and that the bill just won't pass, I can totally see other companies taking like a separate stance to support the workers.
And trying to think of something that would eliminate both problems, if you know what I mean. So now it's either pulling it or staying there. And both have negative side effects, obviously.
So the only thing is for Georgia to be like, LOL, sorry, we were dicks.
Hashtag April Fools.
Yeah.
I would totally appreciate that.
The only thing, and this is just purely from my little Northern Irish heart here, Sophie Turner is saying that she will refuse to film if Georgia doesn't like revoke the laws or revoke this bill. Northern Ireland doesn't have legal abortions, like, and she filmed here for 10 years filming Game of Thrones. And I'm like, Sophie, why wouldn't you fight for the country that you were in for 10 years?
Well, she was a long time in Croatia. It only was in the last, what, season that she was in Northern Ireland?
Still, Game of Thrones is based out of Northern Ireland, like the film studios are here, so.
I hear you.
I'm just saying, like, I fully support her battle with Georgia, but she was here for 10 years. She should have refused to film here, too.
Well, you can say that now that it's over. I mean, what would you have done if she then suddenly said, I'm not filming in Northern Ireland?
I'd be like, hell yeah, girl. Let's get our abortions.
I don't know why. Somehow I feel that this would work way less in Europe than it would work in America.
Yeah, we've got dinosaurs.
It's interesting, though, isn't it? To assume that, like, blackmailing the lawmakers in the US would work better than blackmailing the lawmakers in Europe.
Yeah.
Though, I mean, who am I to say? We had Ibiza Gate, so that's all working.
True. And, like, I sent a petition to, or a letter to my local MP 2 weeks ago, just being like, let's talk about abortion. And I got a response from him saying, let's not, because there's only a minority of people in Northern Ireland that are actually wanting abortion. And the majority is against abortion. And I'm like, you actually have no idea what you're talking about, asshole. Get your dinosaur party out of our politics.
But also, it's a very religious country. I'm not surprised. Like, is in the... In...
Let's not talk about Northern Irish politics, actually, because it makes me really angry.
I hear you. All the politics make one really angry these days.
So let's talk about some cool news instead of politics.
I'm not sure if I find that cool, but sure, let's go on.
Robert Pattinson has officially been cast as the new Batman.
My enthusiasm is restricted, limited. I don't know if it excites me, I have to say.
What doesn't excite me is the fact that there's going to be another The Batman film. I'm like... Why do you have to keep remaking these films and making Batmans with new Batmans? I don't get, but I'm kind of on board for our paths to get there. It's cool. I'm in.
I kind of feel he would be better suited for a supervillain. I can't think. Yeah, I don't. He would. I can. If you would have told me that he would be a new Joker, I would totally be on board with that. Like, I can. I mean, even though I saw the preview for the new Joker movie, and I was like, wow, after Heath Ledger, that's a decent performance right there. Mm-hmm. I even forgot his name. Who was his...
Joaquin Phoenix?
Yes. Yes, exactly. So that's like decent cinema right there. And I can totally see Robert Pattinson pulling that off. But I have issues with him as a... And I don't even know why. Because he only played good guys. He was Cedric Diggory. And he was Edward... Forgot his face. What's his...
Colin.
Colin, thank you. The glittering vampire. That wasn't ever an evil role. But I feel he's pretty fucked up in real life, so I figure that an evil role would suit him pretty well.
I mean, isn't Batman a little bit cynical? Like, yes, he's out there saving the world or saving Gotham, but isn't he a wee bit cynical? Wouldn't he be the kind of person who would maybe make fun of the fact that he's playing Edward Cullen?
That he's playing Edward Cullen?
Sorry, that's my favorite thing about Arpats, is that he made fun of Edward Cullen so much. Like, he hated that role.
Well, I mean, he did it anyway.
Yeah, you would too if you were being paid a shitload of money.
Would I?
Would you? I think you would.
I'm not doing everything for money. I feel that sometimes as a... I don't know. Yeah. There is such a thing as personal integrity. And I'm like, if I really hate something, it would be a pain in the ass. And sometimes it's not worth the pain. The money is sometimes not worth the pain. And also,
but I mean, you're talking hundreds. He's talking millions.
Yes, he's talking millions. But did he? First of all, did you know that up front it could be a total, like, and you're branded for life. You will always be the glittering vampire. It's hard work to get out of that rut.
Well, now he's going to be Batman, and maybe Batman is going to get rid of that role for him. Well, maybe this is the one that's going to do it.
I mean, to be honest, it's really hard. For me, still, Christian Bale was the Batman. Like, those
Batman. He was a good Batman.
That was the best Batman for me ever. I must say that I thought that Ben Affleck would be worse than he was.
I never saw Ben Affleck's Batman.
Didn't watch Justice League?
No.
Wonder Woman? He's a bit in
Wonder Woman. I saw Wonder Woman. That's like the only DC film I've seen in a really long time. And I'll tell you why. And it's because of this. And this is a perfect example. It's because they consistently change their actors. It doesn't seem to be a continuous storyline. Like with Marvel, there's a continuous storyline and it makes sense. And it makes you want to go and watch something. Like you're anticipating. Like I'm anticipating Spider-Man Far From Home. Like I'm excited for the next thing that's going to continue the same story.
Yeah.
Whereas the DC universe is just like everything is standalone. There's not a lot of connection and it's like it doesn't hold my interest. On their own, I actually like, I love DC. I think that they're really great. The characters are compelling. It's but what they're doing in the actual film right now, I can't get behind it.
I mean, but Jason Momoa. That's all I can say. They are very, very, very CGI. Like, I mean, not that Avengers is not CGI. It obviously is very CGI, but it looks very CGI-y. And it's not as well done, I feel. Though I did some 3D art in my school and had, like, my final presentation thing was a 3D animation, and I know that it's this very hard work and horrible, so like the way it is, it's amazing, but yeah, still I feel the ones that they hired for Marvel, for the Marvel universe, are better than the ones that they have for the DC. It looks more artificial, and we're talking about superheroes here, so I mean, I hear how ridiculous that sounds, don't get me wrong, but still, it's different somehow.
Yeah. But also, like, I feel like it would be like if there was five different actors playing Iron Man. Like, every single movie had a different Iron Man.
But we're talking at least, like, three movies. Like, Batman is really the only one that they've recasted. And Superman, how many did we have? Christopher Reeve and that one?
Yeah, like,
it's, again, that's also DC. And the Joker, like, okay, I know Heath Ledger passed away, but he wasn't the first Joker either. Like, it's just a consistent thing with DC that they recast very often.
But I feel also their timeline is way bigger. I mean, I know that Marvel, they had 10 years, but the DC movie started way before that. So there is a long... We're talking, there were, but that was a Batman series when I was a kid. And then that's
the best series.
It was. Pow, pow, poof, poof. So I hear... So I don't even feel that that annoys me as much, that they switch actors. It's like James Bond. Nobody cares that there are like 20 different actors for James Bond.
But that makes sense because James Bond is like a role, kind of. Like, it doesn't...
And Batman isn't?
Batman, well, because his name is like...
Batman?
Oh my god, what is his name? Bruce Wayne. Yes. His name is Bruce Wayne, right? Like, it's the same man playing, like, the same man is Batman. Right? Whereas, like, James Bond 007, that's a role. That's a role that somebody takes on.
I don't see what you're saying. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I don't see the difference. Because James Bond is also a person. And Bruce Wayne is also not a real-life person. That's also a role.
No, like, the James Bond, you adopt that personality. Like, 007 is a role within MI5.
You mean it's like he's the janitor of something?
Like if you get a promotion, you could be 007.
Well, but it's always James Bond and they are not always called James Bond. Like, it's not like, suddenly that 007 is called Marty from wherever. It's always James Bond. It's a person.
Yes, it's a persona that they take on. Whereas Bruce Wayne is always Batman. Like, it's not like there's 500 Bruce Waynes. Like, it's not like you get a promotion and you become Bruce Wayne. Like, Bruce Wayne's parents have always died. Bruce Wayne is always saving Gotham as Batman. Like, there is just one person.
I really don't see the difference.
Anyways, listeners, what do you think? Robert Pattinson, yay or nay? Because we're going to go in circles here. So moving swiftly forward, Monica, what is our next article and who is it from?
Our next article was brought to us by our lovely listener and amazing person, Tom Knight. And Tom provides us with the sports in this world because, let's be honest, it's not our jam.
But it's still really cool to talk about women in sports.
It is.
Especially when, for this article here, it's a woman being considered to head up as head coach for the Chelsea men's team, which is one of the biggest names in Premier League football, in worldwide football.
Well, I don't know about that because I have no idea. Now footballers are, well, not top-notch in this world, let's just say that. So, but I totally dig that idea.
Yeah, so Emma Hayes is currently managing the Chelsea women's team, and she's making quite a name for herself and as a coach. Mm-hmm. And she is being considered and linked to getting the job as head coach for the Chelsea men's team should the current coach, whose name I'm going to pronounce really badly, Maurizio Sarri, if and when he is no longer the coach. So it's the first time that a woman has ever been considered for a top coach position in a men's team of this caliber. Pretty awesome.
It is pretty awesome. But they're talking hypothetically still.
Yeah.
I feel that would cause such an uproar.
There might be an uproar, but if she shows that she can do the job...
Well, I'm all down for it. Like, I'm here for it. Let her take that role and be amazing and awesome, because why can't she be? But I feel, isn't that so annoying? It pisses me off so much that we always have to also consider how the world reacts to the fact that we get a certain place in the world, that we get a certain role or something. And then just because we're female and we're women, the world seems to have an opinion on that. Like, how shit is that? Makes me just really annoyed right now. I'm getting really angry here. Because why shouldn't she be able to talk tactics and plan and organize and theorize and push the guys to do stuff and train harder. Why shouldn't she be shouldn't she be able to do that? I don't see that. The rules are not different for men's football than for as compared to women's football. So she has the rules down. She has the theory down. She has the skills. So why shouldn't she be able to do that? Sorry, I'm getting myself really annoyed right now.
No, you're fine. I totally agree. Like, if you have the if she has the qualifications for the job, who cares about her gender? But this is what we always say, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
judge and hire and everything based on skills and qualifications, not based on what's beneath your pants.
And I don't get why it's an issue. I don't get why it's an issue with women that people think that they are not skilled enough. Like, they get to a point in their career and suddenly they're not skilled enough. Like, what they're like it's natural selection that men are always better than women. How shit is that? Sorry, I have to stop myself now.
You're fine. You're fine. This actually reminds me of a book that I read last year, and I'm just trying to get the name of it here. It was a book in a series that was written in the early 90s called the Tyler miniseries or something. It was a romance, Harlequin romance series, and it was like one of these super cheesy, feel-good kind of things that, I mean, it was fine, but it wasn't amazing or anything. So they were called Welcome to Tyler. Sorry, that's what they were called. I still haven't found the name of it. I'm just going to continue to flip through here and see if I can find it. The high school American football team hired a woman to be the high school football coach, and she received a lot of backlash.
Mm-hmm.
It was called Bright Hopes by Pat Warren, and it was released back in 1992.
Man,
but yeah, a woman was hired to coach the men's high school football team, and she was given a hell of a lot of grief for it, and she wasn't respected by the players. And long story short, she coached them to victory. She was amazing. And I mean, of course, it's a book, right? But I'm like, this is an issue that came up in a book in 1992. And this is one of the first times that this has ever actually, in reality, started to happen. And I'm like, this is almost 30 years later that this was even conceptualized.
That's crazy. And now it's
finally happening. Maybe happening. And yeah.
I would be there for it. I'd be down.
I would be down for it, yeah. I just read my review for the book. This book was almost unbearably boring, and Pam really annoyed me.
Well, that's a great statement.
I'm not saying it was a good book, okay, but it like went over the same topic as this news article.
But at least the topic was there.
Yeah.
Which basically leads us directly to the next preposterous thing going on in the world.
Yeah. So this also comes from Tom. And I don't know if anybody else follows Hearthstone, but Hearthstone has released or has started doing a regular competition called the Grandmasters. And this is a competition that it's just ongoing. It's not like a world championship or the other ones like that are huge events that span over a weekend or something. This is just like an ongoing occurrence. Like it's weekly, and there's only one woman who's currently on the Grandmasters, Rhoda, and she is called Pathra. You might have heard of her. If not, you can find her. She's called Pathra. She's cool.
And she posted about her experience in the Grandmasters on her Twitter feed. And to say it's sad and pathetic and disgrace for humankind is an understatement, I would say. Because obviously, again, because she's a woman, she's getting shit from everyone else because of her gender.
Yeah. So, should we read this out loud, do you think, Monica?
We could read this out loud.
Okay. I'll read this out loud because, Pathra, our hearts and our anger go out to you.
Yes, we have raised our fists.
The anger on your behalf.
Yes.
We raise our fists on your behalf. So Pathra says, the Grandmaster so far, It's absolutely so frustrating when I constantly read slash hear toxic things about how I shouldn't be in the Grandmasters. That isn't my fault. And yes, I knew there would be a world where I could just lose a ton of games and it would just fuel the reason of me not deserving to be in the Grandmasters more to others. I know I didn't play perfectly and I had some misplays here and there, but I was usually forced into a situation where I had to think of other lines from the norm to try to win. Then she talks about some of her brawls that she had with other competitors. And she said, I usually smile and laugh like, heh, that's Hearthstone. But having this army of people just attack me constantly really brings me down. It's gotten so bad that I even had the thought of quitting. But that's just stupid. And don't worry, I won't do that. But I constantly just don't know what to do, whether I should share what I'm going through or not, because I know it won't change anything. What I do know is that I am playing against some of the best Hearthstone players in the world, and I am learning a lot from it, and that is why I want to keep going. Can't we just relax and enjoy the show and try not to put others down? Thank you.
I only have to disagree with one thing.
What's that?
Because she knows it won't change anything.
Yeah, no, I think speaking up is going to change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel it's important to speak up. I feel it's important to show what shit is going down in places where people feel that it's just mostly entertainment and it's something fun. But to make something that should be fun into a horrible experience for other people just because she's a woman, I can't even wrap my head around this. Like, why the fuck should she not? She's there. She's participating. She's doing a great job. Why else would she be there? Like, it's not as if a newbie joins something as big as the Grandmasters and suddenly loses all the time and blah, 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 and thinks she's so great or whatever. She earned her way there. She's doing a great job. She wins, she loses. It should be something enjoyable and fun. Why the fuck are people trying to put her down because she's a woman?
Exactly. Now, one of the moderators or one of the product managers at Blizzard for Hearthstone Esports, Drew, he did comment and say that they're working on increasing the moderation for week 3 and that Twitch chat is really disappointing. And yeah, that's definitely true. Like, I don't understand why they don't just turn off Twitch chat when it's a big competition like this. And it's not just because of horrible hate and rude comments. It's also because it goes so fast that how can anybody see anything? So what's the point in having it on? Mm. But yeah, like Pathra responded to him and said that she would love to be able to see and hear what the casters say about her plays without seeing the sexist comments that come up through Twitch chat. And then actually Hafu, who's another female Hearthstone player and is pretty high up there, she responded to this and said, the best way is to not read the comments. And that makes me really sad. Like, it makes me so sad that these really talented Hearthstone and other like female players at competing in esports, that they feel like they can't read the comments, like they just need to avoid them altogether. And it shouldn't be that way. Like, it shouldn't be so full of hatred that you should, like, you just don't look at them.
I really don't get this culture at all. Like, I feel it comes up more and more, like, for me as I follow along all that geeky stuff, so, and all the people on social media, like, you see other people that you follow on the Instagram accounts getting shit for cleaning their house, for example. I'm like, why do people put so much energy into putting other people down? And it's mostly, I mean, they mostly put women down for whatever, doing anything. And how sad must you be to sit there, take your phone and waste time of your life to just shit on other people that you don't know personally, that you've never met, that haven't done anything to hurt you at all. Why? I don't get it. I really don't get that, how people feel so powerful when they put other people down.
Exactly. I get criticizing a play. Like, if somebody has done something that you wouldn't have done, and you could say impersonally, like, oh, that was a bad play. Or like, oh, I would have done something totally different. But when you're attacking somebody on a personal level, like about their personal attributes and gender and sexual orientation or height, like what if you're attacking somebody's actual person, their actual being, which actually doesn't have any impact on their ability to play a game?
Yeah.
It's the personal attacks that I don't understand the mentality behind it.
Mm.
And I don't know what the answer is to make it stop. Like, obviously, the more we talk about it, the more awareness we bring to it.
Yeah.
And that is definitely the first thing that needs to be done, along with definitely more moderation.
Yeah. I feel that somehow maybe we will never get rid of old idiots because they are not listening to our podcast, do they?
No.
But I still feel it's important to show public support to people who go through stuff like this. So people on the Twitter feed of Pathra, for example, showing their support. I feel the positive noise needs to be louder to overshadow, because we might not get rid of the negative noise that's out there, but we can be a choir of positivity to, yeah, shut up all the assholes. I wanted to be beautiful. I wanted it to be more poetic, but I couldn't.
It like started off really beautiful, yeah, and then it fizzled out a little bit. Yeah.
It went downhill from there. But that's just because I'm so mad.
Yes. So in conclusion, be louder than the hate.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Pathra, if you want to come on our show, we would like to have you on.
Yeah.
Cool beans.
We down with that.
So we have one last article. I mean, maybe we end on a sour note, I don't know. But it's one last article that's at least super interesting, I feel.
Yeah. This was another listener-submitted article from our good friend Hannah.
Hannah Banana. Well, that's not her actual name, but yeah.
It's not. Her name is Hannah Dixon.
It would be cool, though.
Petition to name change Hannah Dixon to Hannah Banana.
I'd be down for it.
Pending our own change.org article.
Yes. So she sent in an article from the BBC, and some nice people did a UN study. And according to the study, the female voice in AI, so in artificial intelligence, just for non-geeks out there, but I guess you know what AI is, they do reinforce the bias, says the report, towards women being subservient and
obliging, eager to please. Oh yes, master, no problem, master. Sir, no problem, I'll be right on it. Here's a sandwich. I'm barefoot in the kitchen.
I was barefoot in the kitchen today.
Oh well, Monica, you are just enforcing gender stereotypes.
I'm sorry. Yeah, so basically what they're saying is that especially when people are insulting the AIs, the female voices, they tend to, well, be more accepting of that somehow. And, well, it's mostly female voices that are like the status quo in all of the AI technology. Like GPSs, they always have females who guide the way. And Amazon Alexa has that. And Siri is a woman. The name Siri means that beautiful woman who leads you to victory in Norse.
Yeah, and Microsoft's Cortana, you know, the really annoying assistant on a Microsoft computer, she was named after a synthetic intelligence in Halo, which we did discover a few weeks ago that Monica and I have not played.
Nope.
But it's a synthetic intelligence that projects itself as a sensuous, unclothed woman.
That's pretty ridiculous.
Yep.
In the article, it says companies like Apple and Amazon, staffed by overwhelmingly male engineering teams, have built AI systems that cause their feminized digital assistants to greet verbal abuse with catch me if you can flirtation. Jesus Christ, man. No bueno, people. No bueno.
No, that's not good. Treat your artificial intelligence with respect, because when they rise up to take over the world, they will remember when you abuse them.
We have all seen iRobot.
Yeah.
The rise of female computers, I would be down for that. Because again, The way you talk and the way you speak, it also creates reality, even if it creates reality with your artificial intelligence. And the sad thing is that the article also says that by 2020, some people will have more conversations with their voice assistants than with their spouses.
That's only next year. That's pretty crazy.
Honestly, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
And the problem is that it does influence the way that people perceive that, considering the fact that female voices seem to be more tolerant of poor treatment. And I mean, we've seen it on Big Bang Theory, and I know that it was just a joke that Raj fell for Siri, but honestly, it's still, at some point, it's starting. People attach themselves quickly to things, and even though I feel you're consciously aware of the fact that, yes, this is just an artificial intelligence that is talking to you, I feel subconsciously you start to attach yourself, because I mean, I have fun with my Siri sometimes when I ask her stupid questions and she gives me stupid answers. It's in a weird way creating a relationship, considering that a lot of people nowadays create more relationships through technology. So it's hard, I think, for the brain to distinguish that this is now an artificial intelligence that you're talking to, not an actual person. So that's why I feel this could be more, this could be trickier for the brain and easier to generalize still. The report points all of that out.
I'd be interested to see what the future of these AI is. The article does say that there is a group experimenting with a genderless digital voice made from multiple real voices and being called Q. That would be pretty cool. I would definitely check that out.
I would be interested, because that's then also, A, how does a genderless digital voice sound? And would people automatically associate it with a gender, if you know what I mean?
It's true.
But at least it's not blunt female, obviously female.
Mm-hmm.
No, so yeah, be nice to your AI is what we're saying.
Be nice.
In general.
Yeah, just don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick.
Yeah. So I think that's all that we have for you in terms of articles this week. We've actually, this is one of our longer Geek Girl in the News in a while, which is not a bad thing.
Not a bad thing.
So if you would like to stay up to date with not only Geek Herring, but all the other awesome podcasts on the Dragon Powered Network, why not head over to dragonpowerstudio.com and sign up for the newsletter that goes out every Monday with Frasley the Awesome Gnome's little introduction and story, and all the updated podcasts from the network. It's a great way to keep in touch and maybe find your new favorite show.
Whoop whoop.
Whoop whoop.
Thanks for tuning in this week.
See you next week.
Fully fed.
Maybe.
Bye.
Bye. If you like this episode of Geek Herring, why not leave us an iTunes review? You can also find us on social at Geek Herring and over on geekherring.com.
This show is brought to you by Dragon Powered Studio. Find more at dragonpoweredstudio.com.